Pour yourself a cold one.
Let's drink them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time, and it is NFL Draft time. Nothing says NFL Draft like the Senior Bowl, which is where my co-host Fran Duffy of the Philadelphia Eagles at FDuffy3 on Twitter is right now, bright and early, 6 a.m. Central Time, to break down what he saw yesterday from the weigh-ins as well as the first day of practice. It is by far the premier all-star game before the NFL draft. There's the Senior Bowl, then there's the combine, then there's the pro days, then there is the draft. This really is, this podcast, your one-stop shop for everything you need to know about the NFL draft. We'll start breaking them down by position shortly after the Senior Bowl. But first, we got to talk about the Senior Bowl. Fran, you are there. By the way, I'm Ross Tucker. If you're new to the podcast, thanks. Played in the NFL for a while, offensive lineman. Now I just host a bunch of podcasts, including this one. If you want to check me out on Twitter, it's at Ross Tucker NFL. If you ever have a specific question for Fran or me, just send me an email, ross@rosstucker.com. And if you include a sponsor confirmation email, well, I can go ahead and guarantee that we will read and respond to it on the podcast. So let's start, Fran. Before we even get into the weigh-ins or the standouts at practice, just set the scene for me and for us, because Dabo Sweeney's there, Saban's there. I mean, who isn't there other than me?
Let's see. I guess Dan Quinn and Bill Belichick are not here, so you're in good company there. I also saw Ed Orgeron yesterday. He was at the South practice. I saw him loving up Hugh Jackson after practice. There are a bunch of college coaches here this year. There usually is only Saban. Saban's the one guy. And when Saban arrives, since it's in Mobile, in the heart of Southern Alabama, when Saban arrives, it's almost like the Pope is visiting. Like, it's just like a huge glut of people just surround him. And it's, you know, you kind of feel the wave of murmurs surround the stadium. But no, a ton of people here. It's a great event. The weather's been outstanding. It's probably been the best weather overall, and it looks like it's going to stay that way throughout the rest of the week. So it's a beautiful trip. I love coming down here every year. This is my sixth Senior Bowl, and it's been a great experience every year. So the entire NFL is here. It's a small town. There's nothing else really going on. So everywhere you go, there's, you know, coaches and scouts and all their team jackets all getting together, all speaking in hushed whispers if they're talking about players, but otherwise having a good time and getting to see old friends from around the league. So it's really, really an awesome experience. It's a lot of fun.
So why do college coaches go?
I think the college coaches go for two reasons. One, if they're recruiting in the area, it's an easy way to kind of swing by. You get some exposure. If some of your guys are here, which is the case certainly with Dabo, with Nick Saban, and with Orgeron, it's a good way to kind of support your players. The media talks to you, so you can kind of get in front of some cameras again and talk about those players. So, you know, it's a little bit of everything. There's a few different reasons, especially if you're in the area. It's a good excuse to just kind of swing by and, you know, support some of your old star players.
And the first thing we did yesterday, or we saw, were the weigh-ins. It's great to get these measurements come flying out via Twitter. Let's start with the Senior Bowl weigh-ins. Who really stood out in a positive way?
So, and also really some background on that. So all the NFL teams, for every senior in the country, they get a list in the spring of really the, because every school in the spring does a kind of a junior day, right, where they have kind of a junior combine. They'll do heights and weights and hand and arm and wingspan measurements, all these same measurements that we see here on Tuesday. They get that back in like May or, you know, March, April, May, from around the country with every school at every level. So really every team has some kind of an idea, and now it's really kind of hammering it down, because there are some discrepancies every year. Even though one guy, he might be listed by his website, as 6'3", 230, and then he's listed on the preseason sheet, at 6'2", 225, and then he shows up here, and he's actually 6'1.5", 220. So there are some guys that you see that are kind of right on the nose, and then there are others where there's still kind of big discrepancies. So it is interesting just to get the official numbers once they show up here or at the combine in next month. So it was really interesting to see some of those numbers yesterday. By far, and Ross, I mentioned that I've been here now for 6 years. I don't know that I've seen or heard the audible gasp in the room like what I heard when Villanova's Tano Pisenyo came into the room. Number one, the guy's just under 6'7", okay? He's 6'6" and 7/8", 280 pounds. He carried that 280 as well as anybody could carry 280. I was talking to our buddy Tony Pauline, and Tony said that that's how every man wants to look. The guy was sculpted, all the things that everyone says, muscles on muscles, Mr. Universe. Like, the guy was an Adonis. And everybody in the room just kind of was taken back because, obviously, it's a small school kid from Villanova. He walked on the stage, and it was ridiculous. So he, by far, was the most impressive-looking body of all the players here in attendance. Some other impressive measurements to me, Western Michigan's tackle, Taylor Moten, he stepped on stage. And I actually thought, man, he looks a little smaller than I thought. Like, he looked a little lighter than I thought he'd be because he was listed at 335. So he comes up, he gets his height done, and I'm like, okay, yeah, the height's about what I expected. It was just over 6'5", so 6'5 3/8". And then he steps on the scale, and they announced 330 pounds. I had no idea. Like, he did not look like he was going to be 330. He carried that weight so well, and when you see him out in the field move as easily as he does, that was really, really impressive for a guy at 330 to carry that weight and then move the way he did. So that was impressive. Bucknell tackle Julian Davenport. He came in, Ross, 6'6 3/4", 310 pounds, but with 36-inch arms and just under an 88-inch wingspan, which, for context, that's in like the 90th percentile plus of all tackles drafted in the last 5 years. So that's a great frame for the small school kid from Bucknell. So that was a really good look for him. And then, ironically, one big name was Michigan cornerback Jordan Lewis, who we've said all season the big knock on him was his size. It was that he was listed. And again, this goes back to that preseason list, right? In preseason list, he was listed as 5'9 and change. Well, he came in at 5'10 even, so that's a win for him because now everyone's going to have him listed at 5'10 instead of 5'9 and change. And he came in at 188 pounds, which was heavier than what people had him at in the spring, much heavier actually. So the size, he got a little bit of a bump up in terms of the size there, and that's Michigan cornerback Jordan Lewis.
What about on the bad side? Who had a rough weigh-in, if such a thing exists?
Yeah, there are always some guys that come in and they their bodies don't look great. You don't get that muscle definition. You don't see the development in their upper body that you'd probably want, especially for someone that was a 2 or 3 year starter. But really, the big thing is when you start looking at some of the measurables. And you and I have talked about some of these measurables in the past when it comes to hand size and arm length. And we mentioned that with Davenport. Well, there were some players where that was kind of a big deal. And when you look at some of the players that have been drafted recently, it shows that it can matter at times in terms of their draft placement. And then one of those guys was Cam Sutton from Tennessee. If you've been listening to this podcast for the last 2 years, I really love Cam Sutton from Tennessee. I think he can start right away. I think he can play inside or outside, potentially even safety at the next level. He came in 5'11", 182. That's fine. A little bit undersized, but nothing to be crazy, go crazy about. What was interesting, though, was that he came in with arm length of 29 1/4, which, to give you context, no cornerback, period, has been drafted in the last 5 years with arms that short. Now, how does that matter? Well, if you're a team that wants to do a lot of press coverage, you may have kind of limitations and what kind of lines of demarcation for where you want those cornerbacks' arms to be. And a lot of them want 32-inch arms. Look at teams like Seattle. One of the things we've heard out of Seattle and Atlanta is that they want that benchmark to be 32-inch. So everybody 32 and over. There's only two of those guys here this year. But it kind of helps to separate the herd a little bit. He is way shorter than that. So that could knock him off some teams' boards. That could eliminate him from contention, especially in a thick corner class. When you're looking at the depth here in this group, There's always going to be those little separating factors, and that could be something for Cam Sutton and potentially bump him down the board. But again, obviously it only takes one team. Along the same lines, I thought Eastern Washington's Cooper Kupp came in smaller than people thought. I think that he thought that, or people thought that he was going to come in about 6'2.5". I think people thought that he'd probably be in that 210-pound range. Well, he came in a full inch shorter and about 15 pounds lighter than what people thought. So that was a little bit, you know, then when you watch him run, you think, you know what, maybe this guy's not going to play on the outside. He might be more of a slot guy only moving into the NFL. Troy tackle Antonio Garcia, who, you know, I mentioned it as a guy last week and then also wrote this week that he had the chance to help himself the most here in Mobile. Really athletic tackle. I didn't get a chance to watch him until the first time last week. He kind of reminds me, Ross, of Tyron Smith on tape. And when you see that guy with length, with great feet, the ability to redirect, the nastiness as well at the point of attack, I thought, okay, this guy's got the chance to really kind of vault himself into the round one discussion. He came in with short arms too. And I'll ask you about that. Well, along the offensive line, are you worried about guys being able to play tackle if their arms are, say, less than 33 inches? Or do you just say, look, I just want to see a guy that knows how to play, or if he's got the feet that can kind of make up for it?
So you'd always prefer longer arms, but a lot of times, you know, the defensive lineman is going to one-arm stab you. So I don't care how long your arms are, they're still going to have a longer lever than you are anyway. So yeah, it really becomes about your balance, your feet, and being able to replace your hands and get them inside anyway. Joe Thomas doesn't have long arms, and I've talked to him about that, and he said, look, I'm not getting my hands on them before they get them on me usually anyway. So I think it's preferred, certainly, but I've seen guys that can be very effective and play very well without it.
Yeah, and Andrew Whitworth, another great example of that, because obviously a lot of people thought he was going to be a guard only coming out of LSU so many years ago, and then has had a great career at the left tackle spot for the Cincinnati Bengals. And Garcia, again, his arms came in just under 33 inches. So it's like right on the fringe, I feel, of what people ideally want. So I don't know that it'll knock him too much, but it was definitely interesting to see that. And then the last player, kind of under the same scale as Elliott, was the small school kid, the Tiffin quarterback, Antonio Pipkin. He came in like an inch and a half, 2 inches shorter than what people thought, and about 15 pounds lighter. So, again, especially from those small schools, kind of verifying that height and weight and some of those measurables, very, very important from those weigh-ins and being able to see those body types up close. So it was a productive weigh-in, and a lot of really notable numbers coming out of the morning.
What about some of the guys that stood out to you at practice? I know it's only been one day, but who stood out to you at the South practice yesterday?
I thought the best player on the field for the South, and that's the team coached by the Cleveland Browns, I thought the best player on the South was O.J. Howard from Alabama, and I don't think it was close. He made some outstanding catches throughout the day, whether they were one-handed grabs away from his body, because the quarterbacks were erratic yesterday from the South team, whether they were one-handed grabs away from his body, whether they were contested catches down the field, whether they were explosive plays down the seam, where he caught a touchdown at 7-on-7 of that variety. He just made plays up and down the field. I wasn't watching him as often in blocking drills because I had my eyes diverted elsewhere. But every time I looked at O.J. Howard in the pass game, he was making a great catch. And that was kind of one of the things that I thought he really needed to prove down here was we know what kind of athlete he is. We know that he's a much improved blocker from where he was earlier in his career. You know, he's got an NFL body. Does he have consistent hands? That was the big question, because he did have some drops earlier in his career, throughout his career. So, that was the big question that he needs to answer throughout the course of the week. Through one day, he seems to have answered that and passed that test with flying colors. The rest of the tight end group on that side, by the way, I mean, it's Evan Engram, Gerald Everett from South Alabama, all three of those guys. That's a really good tight end group for an all-star game. So all three of those players I watched very early in practice yesterday was the tight ends and running backs against the linebackers and safeties one-on-one in running routes and pass catching drills. The running backs and tight ends obliterated the linebackers. And it was like not even a contest for 5-6 minutes. And those guys just blew past them. You saw the quickness, you saw the hands, you saw the route running. All those guys were really, really impressive in that drill. Down in the trenches for the South team, You know, I thought Garcia had his moments. You know, you saw the athleticism for sure. You saw the strong hands, absolutely. So he was impressive. I'd like to see him get better throughout the week, though, and get a little bit more consistency out of him. I thought Forrest Lamp was really, really good, the kid from Western Kentucky. We've talked about him. I watched him against Alabama earlier this season, and I thought he was outstanding against so many of the players that they've got in their front seven. So I was excited to see him down here. And Lamp, you know, he got beat twice that I saw. One was by Pesenio from Villanova. He got tossed to the ground by Pesenio. And then there was one where he got beat by a quick swim move from Eddie Vanderdoes, so who I think is the best defensive tackle down here. So Lamp, other than those two reps, he was really, really dominant, especially inside a guard. I think he did a really good job dealing with those defensive tackles from the South squad. Staying in the trenches, I mentioned Eddie Vanderdoes. I thought he had a good day overall. I mentioned Pesenio. He had some really good flashes, Ross. And again, for a guy who's 6'7", 280 pounds, he moves really well. He had an impressive get-off. I liked his first step throughout the day in drills, whether it was team periods or in one-on-ones. My big knock with Pesenio is that he's got to, A, learn how to use his hands a little bit better, and, B, he needs to get stronger. But what you tend to see in these drills down here, especially early in the week when there's a little bit less contact, is that athleticism can take over. And Pesenio certainly displayed that yesterday. That was really, really an impressive day of practice for him. You know, you're hearing some people talk about round one potentially with this guy. I don't know if I'm there yet. I think I like him more than most people on the media side. But I really, really like his upside. He kind of reminds me of the kid from Dallas Cowboys, David Irving, because there's only a certain amount of guys in the NFL that have that kind of size and that kind of movement. Irving obviously hasn't been able to put it all together yet. He's shown really good flashes. I think he's similar in that way in terms of his measurables. It's a matter of putting it all together. And Pesenio has got really high upside. So he had a good day, obviously, in the weigh-ins, but also in practice. I thought he showed up really well. And also Deshaun Hall. I thought Deshaun Hall had a good day. There were some really good moments where he battled with some of those tackles on the other side, whether it was Lamp or Garcia. And Deshaun Hall, I thought, showed his length, showed his ability to use his hands, and showed his high motor in team drills as well. So Deshaun Hall had a pretty good day. Then out on the perimeter, I watched the corners. I thought that Tre'Davious White had a very good day. He jumped a pass for an interception early in practice against Josh Dobbs. Picked it off and took it back to the house. So Tre'Davious White, I thought, had a good day overall. And then Cam Sutton, who I mentioned with the weigh-ins with the short arms, Sutton, I thought, was very good all day. You know, was constantly in receivers' hip pockets, did a good job in man, and then also playing the ball down the field. I thought Sutton had a good day overall. For the receivers, I thought Taywan Taylor was the best and most consistent receiver for the South squad, and it's kind of making me look good here. I'm expecting him to look a little bit better as the week goes on and make some more of these flash plays, but he carved up Tre'Davious White down the field a couple times in one-on-ones and also made some tough catches over the middle of the field as well. Josh Reynolds from Texas A&M, we talked about him a little bit. Big kid that can run, and the big thing that always stood out to me was his hands. Well, he had some drops early in practice, and he kind of was kind of working through that, and that was a little bit of an issue for him. But I thought as practice went on, he certainly got a little bit better, a little bit more consistent at the catch point. So we'll see how he does throughout the rest of the week. And then one really late addition, Grambling's Chad Williams, made a great catch down the field. Big kid, it looks like he can run a little bit. I didn't watch Chad Williams, so this is my first exposure to him. Excited to watch more of him. I thought of the quarterbacks, Davis Webb from Cal, probably threw the ball the best of those three quarterbacks I mentioned. It was Pipkin, Josh Dobbs, and Davis Webb from the South squad. Pipkin and Dobbs were a little erratic, were a little all over the place. They struggled with timing with their receivers throughout the day, which is par for the course. It's usually the case down here in Mobile. But Davis Webb, I thought, threw the ball the best of the three guys.
What about for the North team?
So the best player, there were two guys that really stood out to me, but I thought long and hard about it after practice. I think the best player on the North squad today was Taylor Moten from Western Michigan, which is also making me feel pretty good about all the things we've been talking about all spring or all fall long, because Moten really stood out to me early in the season against the Big Ten competition on that schedule, and they played Northwestern. He really controlled that game. And then against Illinois, against DeJuan Smoot, who's down here at the Senior Bowl as well, he had a great game. So Moten, I mean, he is so strong, and he moves so well for a guy who's 330. And the other good thing, he came in with long arms, so people that are worried, oh, is he going to only be a guard? No, he's only played tackle here. Whereas we've seen them move Forrest Lamp inside. We saw the South squad move a bunch of those guys inside that also had seen time at tackle. The North kept Taylor Moten at tackle the entire time, whether it was left tackle or right tackle, and he looked good, man. He looked really good, whether it was in run blocking drills or in pass protection. I thought Taylor Moten was probably the best player on the field for the North squad, at least from what I had seen. I thought Jaleel Johnson from Iowa, the defensive tackle, was probably the guy that was closest to him. Jaleel Johnson, it was interesting. I was talking to our friend Josh Norris about this last week. Kind of reminds me of the story of Kawan Short from Purdue a couple years ago. Ended up being a third-round pick for the Carolina Panthers and turned into a nice player for them. You know, Short kind of had an up-and-down career, was a little bit inconsistent. Some people questioned the effort and all kinds of things with Short coming out of Purdue. He comes down here, shows off that athleticism, had a really strong week of practice a couple years ago. He ends up being that third-round pick and turns into a good player. It wouldn't surprise me if Jaleel Johnson was the same way. He's probably the most disruptive interior lineman down here in terms of attacking the quarterback. He wins with his quickness. He's got the ability to win with his hands. He did so repeatedly on Tuesday. You know, you saw that first step. You saw the ability to win with a quick swing move, win with a dip move. He's got the ability to penetrate, get behind the line of scrimmage, and make a play, whether it's in the run game or the pass game. So Jaleel Johnson from Iowa, I thought, was really impressive. Dan Feeney, the guard from Indiana, I thought had a strong day. I watched a lot of the trench guys yesterday from this team. And Tawan Smoot, he won with a quick swim move inside. He won outside as well. I talked with Smoot after practice, and he told me that he thought Moten was the best player down here that he had faced all year long as well. So, you know, Tawan Smoot is a guy that really, really impressed me. I really like the Ohio kid as well, Terrell Basham, who can line up on both sides of the line of scrimmage, or both sides, left and right, defensive end. And he's just a smart player. You know, I talked to him last night as well, and just talking about, you know, the mindset of a pass rusher, that pass rush plan, the pass rush skill that we've talked about so often with so many edge guys, that's something that he embraces and he goes, because he knows he's not the most explosive. He knows when he goes to the NFL, there are going to be guys that are better athletes or stronger, and it's about, you know, outworking them with your mind and knowing how to counter and knowing how to set different moves up. He approaches that side of the game for a really good place mentally. So Terrell Basham is a guy I really like. I thought Ryan Glasgow was relentless yesterday inside, getting after the quarterback. Out in the perimeter, Zay Jones was the receiver from East Carolina. He was the guy who stood out most to me yesterday, made a lot of great catches. I can remember a catch he made down the field in one-on-ones over West Virginia cornerback Rasul Douglas, who's 6'2" even. So, you know, he had to go up and fight for the football against a big corner down the field. I thought for sure, yeah, that pass is breaking up. That pass is on the ground. He came up with the football. So Zay Jones had some really impressive catches yesterday. And I thought Nate Peterman was probably the best quarterback on either squad yesterday. And really what it came down to was his accuracy and his timing. You know, the ball was always coming out on time. And his ball placement in the short intermediate area especially was on point yesterday. So those are the guys that kind of stood out with the North squad. To me, the South squad's got more talent. But as is always the case, and I don't really know why this is always the case, but for some reason, the North's going to win, because whatever I say, one side has so much talent, and this team definitely should win the game on Saturday. It just seems to happen that the other team pulls it out. But Peterman, for sure, I thought was the best quarterback on either team on Tuesday.
I like it. I love the breakdown of practice. I'll be curious next week to get your thoughts on, you know, a couple more days of practice and then the game and what you saw there. Just like I'll be curious to get everybody's thoughts on richuncles.com after they go there and think about diversifying your portfolio a little bit. Rich Uncles is a REIT. It's a real estate investment trust. They own commercial property, collect rent from the best creditworthy tenants, and then pay you a monthly cash dividend. Currently, it's 7% annualized dividend. It's ideal for IRAs. Great way, like I said, to diversify your investment portfolio and add some steady income. Like any investment, has risks, not guaranteed. Rich Uncles REIT, a Reg A Tier 2 offering. Go to richuncles.com. That's richuncles.com. Or call 855-RICH-UNCLES and let them know you heard about them in this podcast, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, or specifically this one, The College Draft Podcast.
Rich Uncle's REIT is seeking indications of interest concerning its Reg A Tier 2 securities offering. Any indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. No money or other consideration is being solicited, and if sent, response will not be accepted. No sales will be made or commitments to purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $2,000 by Rich Uncle's for this single message.
Head to head.
All right, friend, let's dive into the game itself. So I can't wait to find out the rest of your practice reports next week, as well as, you know, what you saw from the game itself. But I'm curious to know ahead of time, for those of us that will get a chance to watch it on TV, what you'll be looking for and what matchups will be the most intriguing to you in the game itself.
Sure, we'll do this the same way we did the East-West game last week, and we'll just look at it one side of the ball at a time. So when the North has the football, so when North's offense against the South's defense, obviously Nate Peterman, excited to see him. I just mentioned that he was probably the best quarterback on either roster, and he could be one of the deciding factors in the game. So Nate Peterman, certainly. The running backs from the North squad, Kareem Hunt, Devion Smith got called up late last week, so he's here, the kid from Michigan. I'm excited to see him against, honestly, the group of linebackers is probably the worst I've seen in the 6 years I've been down here from an overall draft placement standpoint. But Harvey Lange from BYU, Alex Anzalone, the local kid to Philadelphia, the Philadelphia area, but from Florida, is a redshirt junior who's here because he did graduate on time. I think that's going to be an interesting matchup. You know, Anzalone does look the part. He came in with pretty good size, 6'3", even 244 pounds, and I think he moves pretty well. I watched him, obviously only 10 starts during his career at Florida, but showed all the physical tools. It's just a matter of can he put it all together mentally due to the lack of experience. But Harvey Lange's a big kid too. He came in at almost 250 pounds, and he can run a little bit. Former running back, he's got some range, so I'm excited to see him matched up against these North running backs. On the outside, Cooper Kupp, Amara Darbo. It's not a really inspiring group of North wide receivers, but I mentioned Zay Jones as well. I'd throw him into this list. Going up against the corners from the South squad, you know, so Tre'Davious White and Cam Sutton, namely, how will that matchup look out in the perimeter? And I expect the South corners to really kind of rule that matchup against the North receivers. So that will be very interesting to watch. Tight end Jeremy Sprinkle, Jonnu Smith from FIU. How will those guys do down the seam against probably the two best safeties here in attendance, and they're both on the South team, Rudy Ford from Auburn and Justin Evans from Texas A&M. I thought Evans made some really good plays down the field as a center fielder in practice yesterday, and Ford is a guy who's kind of a five-tool player. You know, people mentioned watching baseball prospects, you know, coming up through the minor leagues. This guy's a five-tool player because of what he can do on the diamond. I look at Rudy Ford as a five-tool player at safety because he's got the ability to run the alley. He can play single high. He can play two high. He can play man in the slot. He can roll down and play underneath. He's got the ability to do everything that you ask today's NFL safety to do. So I really liked Rudy Ford. I think between him and Evans, they're probably the two best safeties here. So watching him against those tight ends from the North squad will be very, very interesting. And then down in the trenches, and I think these are where the best battles will be when the North has the football, Taylor Moten, Deion Dawkins, who is playing exclusively guard, who he played tackle at Temple this past year. I'm excited to see Dawkins, Dan Feeney, the guard, Jordan Morgan, the kid from Kutztown, I thought had an up-and-down day but did get better as the day went on. I'm excited to see all those offensive linemen from North squad take on that South defensive line, Deshaun Hall and Jahleel Johnson, some of these other guys here. Johnson's on the North, but some of these other guys for the South defensive line, Jordan Willis, Pesenio from Villanova, Montrevious Adams, and Eddie Vanderdoes, some of these other guys from the South squad, I'm excited to see how they match up with a North offensive line that's got some players on it, especially inside a guard. It's going to be a really, really interesting matchup. And then when the South has the football, I mentioned Davis Webb, probably the best quarterback on that roster. But how will the running backs look? You know, Donnell Pumphrey, I thought, went down too easily, even by just initial contact yesterday. Ended up on the ground a lot, obviously very small. And that's going to be the big knock on him is his size. So how is Pumphrey going to look in live action? Jamal Williams, I thought, was physical yesterday, did have a couple drops in the passing game. How will he look against this North defense? And the best linebacker here, and it's interesting, the guy, he's the best linebacker here, and he didn't play linebacker at all in college at Temple, and that's Hassan Reddick, who led the country in tackles for loss this year as a defensive end, even though he was 220-plus pounds. Reddick is explosive. He's a good athlete, high motor. I talked to him yesterday, and he mentioned how he's just kind of letting his instincts take over. This was his first time lining up as a middle linebacker ever in his career. He came to Temple as a corner. Then they moved him to strong side backer, then eventually to defensive end where he flourished. So another position switch now for Reddick, who is seeing the field from a completely different position. That will be his first live action. So very, very interested to see how Hassan Reddick looks against that run game from the south. Out in the perimeter, I like the South receivers a little bit more than the North. They've got Taywan Taylor. They've got Josh Reynolds. How will they look against the group of North cornerbacks, namely Desmond King, who gave up some plays down the field yesterday, but I thought it made some nice plays as well in underneath coverage. And then Jordan Lewis as well, the undersized corner from Michigan, who has longer arms than people would expect for a guy who's 5'10 even and has the ability to go up and play the football. I think that's going to be a really good matchup on the perimeter, the South receivers against the North corners. I mentioned that really strong group of tight ends from the South squad, O.J. Howard, Evan Ingram, Gerald Everett. How are they going to look down the seam against some of the defensive backs from the North squad? They've got a long safety from UConn and Obi Melifonwu, who came in at 6'3½, 217 pounds. I'm really excited to see that matchup down the field with the safety position. And then lastly, down in the trenches, you know, we mentioned Garcia at left tackle. I think he's got the ability to make some money this week. Forrest Lamp, is he going to play some more tackle or is he going to play more guard in the game on Saturday? Well, remains to be seen. I would guess probably more guard. I think he'll do a lot better there inside in this game. Danny Isadora got a little banged up yesterday from Miami, but I like Isadora. I think he's got starter traits for the next level, and I could say the same about Isaac Asiata, the guard from Utah. I'm excited to see how they match up against this defensive line from the North squad. So we're talking about Jaleel Johnson from Iowa, talking about DeJuan Smoot from Illinois, Larry Ogunjobi from Charlotte, Ryan Glasgow from Michigan. How will those guys look down in the trenches? It's going to be some good matchups. I think that's really where the best matchups in this game lie, is down in the trenches on Saturday. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Really, really looking forward to the action here from Ladd People Stadium.
Nice. You're preaching to the choir here. You're speaking my language, watching the guys in the trenches. I love it. We'll be all over your Twitter handle all week, Fran, at FDuffy3. And, of course, we'll take a look at your weekly piece at PhiladelphiaEagles.com, Saturday Scouting, as well as the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. Should be a fun week. I watched the recap show on NFL Network last night with our guys, Mike Mayock, Daniel Jeremiah, Andrew Siciliano. So it's a good week there at the Senior Bowl, and you've come to the right place for your on-demand audio content leading you all the way up until the NFL draft in Philadelphia in Fran's backyard this year. Other than that, the keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chug, 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 chug.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
You are about to participate in a great adventure.
Something I can see peering out of that black hole of the eyes. It might be a face.
You wanted more of the best in paranormal talk radio? Podcast One and Jericho Network answered. Now, 5 nights a week, Beyond the Darkness. Subscribe now.